Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Etz Chaim Yir L'machazikim Ba
Jewish chant you just heard is called Etz Chaim. So this chant is in Jewish worship and Jewish life, constantly sung by a lot of the Jews, and it's something that's incorporated in actual Christian belief, which was not said so much, but it's the meaning of it, Etz Chaim, means tree of life. And so the words to this song is very important because they actually come from Scripture. The words translated in English are a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and all who cling on it shall find happiness. How many people want to be happy? Amen. Its ways are pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Return, O Lord, to you, and we shall return. Renew our days as in the days of old. We see this same thing talked about in Proverbs 3:17 through 18. It says, her ways are a pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. This theme found in Scripture is basically what the Scripture says all the time. Choose life that you may live and that your children shall live. A tree of life. As you may have seen, how much life is in some countries, and some people really do not care about life. You look at some of the news, and it's like some people don't even respect life at all. But one of the main greetings and toast in the Jewish sect is Shalom, peace be unto you. And another one would be L'chaim. They make a toast, and it means to life. God gave each and every one of us life that we should live. And he gave us a word to show us how to live it. But when we're going to look into the study today, we're going to actually look at what life pertains to and how we can spiritually grow from learning about the tree of life. The Torah scrolls, which we call the Old Testament, the first five books, are usually written on scrolls. And on the scrolls are wooden poles in the middle, which they actually turn the scrolls. Those scrolls are called in the Jewish synagogue, guess what? Etz Chaim. Etz Chaim. It means tree of life. Those poles, etz means wood or tree. Etz means tree or wood. And Chaim, that's holding the scriptures, is life. So if you actually look at this, Etz Chaim, the tree of life, is the word of God. And in the beginning, what happened? Was the word, and the word was God. They all go together. So we're going to look in at the tree of life and by its life cycles. There's a life cycle with trees. We're going to look at normal trees, and then at the end, which we're not going to do, this is going to be a two-part series because it would be way too long to do this in one session. And matter of fact, I'm going to suggest to anybody who ever gets a chance to read this small little book called Etz Chaim, Tree of Life, to get it. And I'll touch on the subjects on that as we go along. But by looking at the life cycle of a tree, we are going to discover how we can spiritually mature in the Lord. The first book of the Bible talks about the tree of life. The last book of the Bible speaks of the tree of life. All through the Bible speaks about the tree of life. The question is, how did the tree get there? Think about, there was two trees in the garden. How did that tree get there? There was two trees in the garden. You remember what they were? The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. One, you ate of the fruit, live forever. One, if you ate of the fruit, you died. You died spiritually and sooner or later physically. But how did that tree get there? I got news for you. How many heard that Jesus was a Jewish carpenter? How many people heard that? Almost everybody here heard that. The Bible doesn't say he is. They know that his father was. He was actually a rabbi. He was not a carpenter. He was a rabbi. But besides that, God is an architect, as we've seen how he stretched forth the heavens and the earth, and he created all things. But he's also a gardener. How did those trees get there? Simple. God planted them. In Genesis 2, 8, and 9, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." He planted a garden. Most people, when they look at this type of the scriptures, how did all these trees and everything, they think, God said and it was so. No, God planted. He got his hands in the dirt and he planted something. No, I'm not a farmer. I've got a brown thumb. Anything I put in the earth usually dies. And the reason why is from the lessons I'm learning from this book. I haven't been doing what this book here's been telling me, and I haven't been doing what the Bible's been telling me while I'm doing physical fruit into the ground. Because I'm not a gardener. I'm not a farmer. He made the trees in the garden to produce fruit that would sustain man. Eating of, as I said, would bring of one fruit brings life, the other one brings death. So what do we use the wood from the tree for? We use it for our houses. We use it to heat our homes. We use it to make our furniture. We also use it for paper, which we even have the scriptures written on for people who can read it. We take the saps from the trees for the syrup that we actually put on our pancakes. And not to mention the oxygen we breathe. Not just the fruit that you see on the outside. There's a lot of uses for the tree. The teaching today is based on the Messianic Rabbi Eric Walker books, Etz Chaim. And what I mean by a Messianic Rabbi, Messianic. Okay, I just want to make sure that's clear. He believes that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. Okay? So there is what we call a Messianic movement where there are Jews that believe that Yeshua is the Messiah that died on the cross, is still the Jewish Savior as well as the Savior for all the world. And so, as I said, I already recommended this book, but I'm going to put most of the substance into two teachings from what I've read in this book. There is no way I can put, even though this looks like a small book, I cannot put that whole teaching in a couple teachings. This is something that if you wanted to do it in a church, we could take a couple months in it and do it as a Bible study if everybody had it. So the book came about by a parable that God gave Rabbi Walker. And it's one I think that pays, we need to pay attention to. When I started reading this book, boy, it really lifted my spirit up. And it's not very many books that do that anymore. So the parable that God gave him was this. The children of the kingdom are like the trees where the seasons change the outward appearance, but the root never changes. In its seasons, people gaze upon the buds and marvel at its branches. In its season, the colors, like Joseph's robes, burst forth and the people stand in awe. And winter comes and the tree sheds their beautiful leaves, and their outward appearance comes bleak and barren. There's no longer any interest in the tree, but beneath the surface, the roots grow deeper and deeper yet. And so, how many people love the change of the trees, like around the fall and when they come out in spring? They go up into the desert places up there, all the way up in the far places in the mountains, to look at all the springage and the foliage. It's really beautiful. But how many people do that in the winter if there's no snow on the trees? Nobody. They don't even pay the tree any interest. But this is talk about a life cycle. The life cycle of a tree. Sometimes the trees are fruitful, but sometimes they need to grow deeper. Guess what? So do we. This is how we can actually compare to this our spiritual lives. Just because we don't see fruit all the time, we may be in a different process. We may be in a pruning process. We may need to be digging deeper into the ground instead of trying to look pretty on the outside. So the first thing we're going to look at is the ground. We begin this journey back in the beginning. When Rabbi Walker was looking for a starting point for this study, he asked God, and God told him, start with the dirt. Why start with the dirt? God's reply is, that's where I started. That's where he started. Remember, in the parable, beneath the surface, the root grows deeper yet. Remember, he planted a garden, but how was it made? Also, by the dust and dirt of the ground. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The condition of the soil is really important. We look at a lot of parables today and we concentrate on fruit and seed. But first we need to look at the foundation of the soil before we look at the outward appearance. Pay particular attention as we look at what we call the parable of the sower. I actually think this is completely named incorrectly. It should be the parable of the ground because it's all talking about the ground. Matthew 13:3-9 says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, and there was not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness on the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears, let him hear. It should be the parable of the sower. There was nothing wrong with the seed. Did you notice that? It was all good seed. Yeshua later explains this parable that the seed is the word of God. It is not that the seed was corrupt. It was good seed. It was the conditions in which they were planted in. It is the heart of man that the soil that needs to be prepared for the seed, to be able to receive the seed. David said, your words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. No, it's not the outward doing. It has to go in the heart. Yet, it is good to preach and teach God's word, but first we must plow the field and prepare the soil so it can receive the seed. If the soil is too dry, the seed will sprout up, but it will soon dry out and produce no fruit. and it would die. And if it's too wet, it will drown. And as we read in the parable, and if it's around in a thorny place, it would be choked out. It would have no place to grow. The soil has to have the correct amount of nutrients, not only to produce life, but to sustain life. Have you ever seen a seed that pops up, a little stem, and then it dies? It's not just the soil to be able to make it produce life, but for it to sustain life. In Hosea 10:9-13, it says, O Israel, thou hast sinned. From the days of Gibeah, there they stood in the battle of Gibeah against the children of iniquity and did overtake them. It is my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall go together against them, when they shall bind themselves into the two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread the corn. But I passed over the fair neck, and I will make Ephraim to ride Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break up the clods. We all have pieces, even in preparing the soil, is what it's saying. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap a mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. How do we break up the fallow ground? We seek the Lord. We seek to hear from Him for direction. We seek to have a relationship with Him. We seek to not come up and just thinking of our own will, but we ask the Lord to change our hearts. We sing that song, change my heart, O God. That's what this is about. We need our hearts changed, and we need to be a part of that process of allowing it to be broken. Continuing on. Sow unto yourself, reap, sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. When is it time? All the time. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed in wickedness. If you're plowing the soil wrong, you're not going to expect good fruit, are you? You put bad seed in, you're not going to get good fruit. You have plowed in wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. God's way or our way? Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. Not my way, His way. Jeremiah 4:3-4 speaks very similar to this and goes right to where it should be. Thus saith the Lord of men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none quench it because of the evils of your doing. The soil's got to be prepared. A lot of people says, I've preached the word for years. No results. I'm not getting the results. I'm just preaching the word. Well, you're sowing your seed in the wrong place. Remember, each person has a part of evangelism. We're not to make get people saved. It is not our job to do that. Ours is to sow seed. Even if it's in the wrong place, we're still supposed to sow the seed. But somebody's job is to prepare the soil. That's the Lord. And we need to prepare the soil because lots of times we're preaching and preaching and preaching, but we have no care. The word's going to do it. The word's going to do it. The word's going to do it. No, you need to prepare the soil sometimes when you're ministering. Hey, you having a problem? Let's talk about the problem. Let's don't worry about me just preaching the word. Do I have an interest of why you're having a hardened heart? Maybe it's something that we need to open up and talk about ourselves. Maybe it's not just me presenting the gospel. Somebody else is going through a hard time and they're having a hard time dealing with that situation. And sometimes we need to be understanding and have not a hard heart by just saying, I'm preaching, I'm getting nothing done. But I need to be open to hear other people. It doesn't mean that it always will be 100% going to be everybody gets saved. Scripture doesn't show that. But one person waters, right? Remember that? It's always God that gives the increase. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. It's the same way. Some people are going to be the job is going to be to prepare the soil. God's job is the main person to do, prepare the soil through the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that draws them. But the conditions have to be correct for it to be able to sprout. Instant salvation is not what the scripture teaches. Yeshua said, go out and get everybody saved. Did Jesus say that in the scriptures? No. He said, make disciples of all people, of nations, okay? And then he says, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. He didn't say, go out and get people saved and just go out and say the sinner's prayer. If you do that, lots of times you're going to see people falling away because they're just doing the routine to get on. I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to pray. They say I'm saved, but their lives haven't changed because they have not met the Savior. They have done what was expected of them by the church. The purpose of the soil being prepared is that the seed that's planted will start to grow. In Psalms, well, let's look at another one that actually shows this as an example. In Luke 13, 6 through 9, Yeshua said, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. He planted it in his vineyard, and he came and he sought the fruit thereof, and he found none. Then he said to the dresser of the vine, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit from this fig tree, and yet I find none. Cut it down. Why do we take cumber it to the ground? Why do we spend any more time on it? Thank God that he's patient with each and every one of us, that he doesn't say, after 3 years, I give up on you. But, and he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that I shall cut it down. Let me prepare the soil around it. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to put some good soil on there. I'm going to dung it, for it has nutrients in that soil. I'm going to water it. I'm going to be a caretaker to this. One tree, not to all the trees. Remember, when we look at the trees, we look at the forest, but a forest only comes a forest one tree at a time. The kingdom is only built on one person at a time that the Lord has actually started working on each person individually. And so the church comes with us all together, but one person at a time. And so we're going to take that care of that one tree that needs the most help, that is the weakest, to make it stronger for it to be able to bear fruit. And not only that, be part of the life cycle process, which we will talk about later, because all the trees need each other to be able to continue to procreate. People don't realize that, but one seed needs something else after they start growing to be able to continue to grow. So thank God he didn't leave us like that. But if the conditions of the soil are right, we'll see what it's like. In Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3, a lot of people memorize this one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he bringeth forth his fruit in season. Remember, you don't bring forth fruit out of season. It's only in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why would whatsoever that person doeth always prosper? A lot of people say, well, I've been doing something and I ain't getting a lot of money. I'm not getting a lot of the other things that I'd like to be for prospering. Prospering is different. What you are intended to do, what God's called you to do, that shall prosper long as you stay rooted by the water. And what is the water the representation of in the scriptures? Life, and what else? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Water is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. We have to be in the vine. But we have to be planted in the correct soil, which is His Word, which my wife was actually alluding to. The law of the Lord is the delight. It is the law that is the schoolmaster that brings us to Yeshua, Jesus. The word in our ear is what the word that we hear will bring us to the place where we will be fruitful in season, and where the leaves will not wither, and that we prosper. This is true prosperity of any kind. There's no way it could be. So now we went from the ground. We talked a little bit about the tree. So now we got the conditions right. Let's say we got the soil correct. Now we need to deal with the seed. What seed do we plant? What type of seed? Remember, each seed produces after its own kind. The smallest of seeds can produce the most beautiful flowers and fruit trees. Along also, they can produce destructive thorns, weeds, and poisonous plants, and ivies. So where do seeds come from? The answer is not packets in your garden section of your favorite store. They come from dying fruit. When they die and the buds fall from the tree, the seed houses the DNA of what type of tree that is going to come about by that seed. It holds the DNA of what fruit that tree produces. And if all the conditions of life met, it will produce life. Seeds are basically dead or dormant until planted. They require soil, sunlight, and water to germinate, which allows them to grow on their own afterwards if they have those right conditions constantly met. John 12:24-25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life," or life everlasting. Yeshua was the seed that died to give us life. It's as simple as that. Why did he have to die and was planted into the ground as his body was put in a tomb? And why did he rise? That's the same process of life that we see today. We need to die to self, is what the scripture says. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he who hateth his life, and most people don't look at this, in this world shall save it. Doesn't mean hate your life. I hate what I have. I hate the people around me. I hate everything. That's not what it's talking about. It says you hate your life in this world. Why? Because you want to be in that godly kingdom. You're still in this world, but not of this world. I'm stuck here, God, and I can do what all I can do, but I'm not there present with you at all times. I want to be with you. So I hate my life in this world because I want to be so close to you. Death brings about life. Once the seed is planted, a radical root goes straight down to stabilize the new growth, and the stem moves up to protrude the top of the earth in search of sunlight. We read earlier that the good seed is the word of God, but we also need to be aware that there is bad seed out there. In Matthew 13:24-30, it says, "Another parable he brought forth, and so saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while the men slept, the enemy came, and he sowed tares among the wheat, and they went his way. But when the blade had sprung up forth, and brought forth fruit, then appears the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou plant so good seed into thy field? From whence did these tares come up? And he said unto them, The enemy has done this." Remember, God's kingdom is not the only one planting. Remember that. It's very important to realize that the enemy's trying to plant his seeds in people's lives. An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou that we go up and gather them up?" He said, "No, lest while you gather them up, the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow, both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them and bundle them up and burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn." This is the time, part of the end times of the world, what's going to happen. It's specifically talking about end time. I know a lot of people says, "Well, I never seen a tare become a wheat." It's not going to. That has nothing to do with salvation. This is already a done deal that he's allowing them to become for the end of the world, saying he's going to let them grow together. Then he'll separate them at the end of the world. And that's very important, because you know what? Tares sometimes look just like the wheat, and they can deceive people. The bad seed is the word of the enemy. This is planted in many ways, which we saw in the Garden of Eden. The serpent said, sowed the seed of doubt and unbelief when he told Eve, "You shall not surely die, but you shall be as God, knowing both good and evil." Think what may have happened if they'd have eaten of the tree of life and not touched the other tree first. We need to think on these things. We actually reap what we sow. In Galatians 6, 1 through 6, it says, "Brothers, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who are spirits should set him right." And I'm reading from the complete Jewish version of the Bible. "But in the spirit of humility, keeping an eye to yourselves so that they won't be tempted too. Bear one another's burden. In this way, you will be fulfilling the Torah's true meaning, which the Messiah upholds. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is really nothing, he fools himself. So let each of you scrutinize his own actions. Then if you do find something to boast about, at least the boasting will be based on what you have actually done and not merely on the judgment that you are better than someone else. For each person will carry his own load. But whoever is being instructed in the word should share the good things he has with his instructor. Don't delude yourself. No one makes a fool of God." And you know, God is not mocked. That's where that comes from in the King James. "A person reaps what he sows. Those who keep sowing in the field of their old nature in order to meet its demands will eventually reap ruin. But those who keep sowing in the field of the Spirit will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. So let us not be weary in doing what is good. For if we don't give up, we will reap in due season." There's a season that the fruits will come. It's not every day. We want the fruits to be every day, but we're through a process of pruning sometimes to be able to bear other fruit. And we're not being watered right now. We need to wait for that water to actually get to the roots and be soaked up to the rest of the tree. The enemy uses the same tactics, though, as today, as he did in the garden. He plants seeds of doubts and unbelief, trying to have us to go astray from the Word of God with false doctrines and evil and things that are contrary to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." You can't fight a gun battle with a knife, and you can't fight a spiritual battle with your flesh. It won't work. "For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So what seeds are you feeding on today? Is it on lies, doubt, unbelief, or is it on the Word of God? Paul tells us in Philippians exactly what we should be thinking. In Philippians 4, 8 through 9, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be of any praise, Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's a promise. Think on these things. Speak on these things. Do act on these things. Those things that are good. If there's any virtue and praise, not praise for yourself, praise for God. If you continue to think on those things that are lovely, good, have a good report. We turn on the news, all we hear is bad reports. What happens here? What happened here? So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. How about so-and-so did that? Praise God, boy, he's working for God. He's doing the work of the ministry. People are being saved. God's using him mightily. We see miracles. People that were crippled are now walking. No, that can't be of God. Yeah, it can be of God. And those are the reports we need to be speaking of, those good reports. And these were the things we should be putting on our spirit, not just in our mind. The last part we're going to talk about today is the root. The root is where the foundation is built. So we went from the soil, the seed, now to the root. The root is where the foundation is built for a tree to stand on. The first root to come out of the seed is what, as I said before, was the radical root. And it goes straight down and it comes back up. And what it does, it searches for nutrients and water to anchor the plant to the ground so it can start growing back upward. And it provides nutrients to the other roots to start to grow for support. So they go outward and down. And they're more of the infrastructure of the tree. Matthew 13, 5 through 6 says, some that fell around the stony places, we talked about this again, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. But because they had no deepness in the earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they are withered away. I don't know if many people seen trees completely uprooted. If you look at the roots, you usually see the ones that are uprooted are the ones that had very small roots. They didn't go far down. Those are the trees. They're on rocky ground. The soil is not good. They cannot go far. They may go out long, but the first storm that comes blows them down. And guess what? Maybe the first storm's not the one that blows them down, but it's the big storm that blows them down. Guess what? We're going to go through storms in life. And some of them are going to be bigger than others. Some of them may not be that big that, oh, I can take this. Not a big deal. Just wait. I'll handle this myself. I'll take care of it myself. But there are some storms you will not be able to go through by yourself. And you're going to need support. And the support is how well rooted you are to the soil, which is the Word of God. We need to have a strong roots to grow. And the most vulnerable time in a tree's life and in your life is when you're a baby, when you have not grown that much. Newborn babes in Christ are very vulnerable for the enemy's attack. That's why they need more support from the other trees around or us. So we have a job to do. Yeshua is the root of the tribe of Jesse. Isaiah 11:10 says, In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It's glorious. We are to be part of that root. Isaiah 53, 1 through 3 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender ground, as a root out of a dry ground. Not a wet ground. That's really interesting. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. We see all these beautiful pictures of Jesus in all these films, but that's not what the Bible depicts him as. It says there's no comeliness or beauty in him that any should desire him. Has anybody ever looked at a root? Picked up a root and tried to look at it? Oh, that looks so beautiful. I don't think so. It's not, but that is the most important part of a tree. You could cut down a tree. You could tear it completely down. You could sit there and do everything you can. But if you don't kill the roots, it will grow back up. The tree is not dead. Though we go through storms, we will not die because of the storms if we're still rooted into the ground, if we're still rooted in the Lord. You will not be destroyed. Good news. Good news, because we have a firm foundation, the true root, and we're grafted into that root. Think wrong page. So the question is, where is your anchor? The root that we need to have is we need to be rooted on that firm foundation. When you build a house, you don't build it in the sand. And if you're a tree, you're not in the sand either. You're in dirt. And the dirt goes far. It's rich. God's word is rich. And it provides life. Who is your root? If it ain't the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and you're trusting in yourself, you're going to fall in the storm. But we're going to talk about types of trees next week, along with the rest of the attributes of the tree. Not next week, the week after next. And we're going to see how this actually ends. But regardless of that, the Lord asked us that we should bear much fruit. He expects it of each and every one of us. And we do need to be planted on good soil, on the Word of God. And if you're listening to me by CD or messages on demand, I'm asking you to actually look out and say, where is my faith? Where is my trust in? Is it in myself or is it in the Lord? If it isn't in the Lord and you're not rooted in the Lord, when the storms come, you will fall. The good thing is that if the righteous man falls seven times, the Lord will lift him up. And so I'm asking you to get with that firm foundation. All you have to do is to say, Lord, come into my life. Father, I thank you for this message, and I pray for each person hearing here, Lord, that you will help us to grow more spiritually, stronger, to grow deeper into the ground than we ever have before, that we may be able to spring up with the life that you've given each and every one of us, that we may not only inherit eternal life, but that others too can inherit that life and become part of the family of God. I ask, Lord, that you keep each person safe here as we go to our homes today. In Yeshua's name, amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's house, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.